find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? They're the thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports. Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy.
What's up?
The Yankees lose.
Yankees lose.
You know,
I hate the Yankees.
I do
and
too.
That was great.
Here's my thing.
The way they dribbled that down their leg is just the best.
It's incredible. It's even better that it happened that way than just losing by like 12 runs.
Yeah, for sure.
And here's why, like, I don't know why, objectively, I hate the Yankees more than I do the Dodgers or the Giants or the Red Sox. Or I mean, I'm a Mets fan, and we spend a bunch of money. We just don't win. Objectively, the Yankees aren't any worse than anyone else. But if you want to know who you truly hate, just watch a game. And for no reason, like, you feel a hatred start to boil up in your chest. And every time I think maybe I don't hate the Yankees as much as I used to, something happens, like those two dip-ass fans patrolling the wall and then like being crowned heroes of New York. And I'm like, I hate it.
They always remind you who they are.
Yes.
And you hate them.
Yes. And then I don't know. I think it's the chain or just the, I don't know what it is, but Verdugo, just he embodies everything. When I look at him, I think douchebag New Yorker, and now he's a douchebag New York player.
But I thought that about him in Boston too.
And he was in LA too.
I know. And so that's what I'm saying. There's no, I didn't hate him nearly as much somewhere else, but when I see him in New York and I see that stupid chain he's wearing, and Mookie Betts wears a chain. He wears like three of them. I don't hate Mookie Betts. There's something about him in New York that just, it bothers me. And last night watching them lose, it was almost as good as watching my team win.
It's the brand.
Yeah.
Because if Betts played for the Yankees, you'd hate him.
Yeah.
And Freddie Freeman would be obnoxious if he played for the Yankees.
Yeah. He's got a Yankee look to him, too.
He does, yeah. He's got that,
that
clean shaven.
Cut, the giant teeth.
The chiclets. Yeah. Him and Aaron Judge could match chiclets.
Oh, my goodness. That would be like Wonder Twin powers activate. They would blind someone with those things.
Somebody said, hot take, for a big market, huge money team, the Dodgers are surprisingly likable.
Well,
they were this year.
They were.
Because they did go through a lot of injuries.
Yeah. And Ohtani has a lot
and
to do
Ohtani,
with that.
Yeah. You love Ohtani. And Freeman, I mean, that's a good story.
Yes. And he's hugging his dad all the time.
And his wife has cancer.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I think she had cancer.
Had cancer.
I don't think she does have cancer.
And he didn't really want to go to the Dodgers. Like, the Braves kind of gave
Braves
up on him.
Screw him, you know.
You know, guys.
But Ohtani is...
He's great.
He's greatness. Yeah. Like, he just... If you look at Ohtani and you don't smile, then I don't know what to tell you. The real challenge would be if Ohtani played for the Yankees... That's tough. Would you still root for Ohtani but hate the Yankees, or would you have to hate Ohtani?
I could root for Ohtani to do good things, but I would never root for his team to do good things.
Yeah.
It's much like Judge. Like, I don't dislike Judge.
Yeah, Judge is a likable guy.
But Judge, you know, look, you're a Yankee. You're not my guy.
Yeah.
Because you're a Yankee. And by the way, watching him drop a can of corn is great.
Well, that whole inning.
Yeah.
I mean,
do you want the stat?
I've never seen anything quite like that.
No. There's never been anything like
that.
No. Here's the stat. So the Yankees, did you guys see the Yankees lost the World Series?
In case you
they
didn't
are
hear.
Out.
The Yankees lose!
And it's great. Yeah. And we were just giving Jake, our resident Yankee fan, one of our resident Yankee fans, a lot of crap.
I tried to go find Cooley to taunt him, but he's just vanished.
He didn't even show up today.
I can't find him.
Ow! Ow!
Yankees are the only team in history to blow a 5-run lead, commit 3 or more errors, commit a balk and catcher's interference, and allow 5 or more unearned runs in the same game.
It's amazing.
This includes the playoffs and the regular season. That has never happened in a game ever.
No.
It could not be more perfect that it's the Yankees doing it on the biggest stage. Yeah. This is where I say... LOL.
And every one of those douchebag Yankee supporters that were like, Yankees are going to win, we turned the tide, they defended the wall, and those two dip-esses were going to be made heroes. Did you see someone officially started the curse of the jabroni? You know, because obviously the curse of the Bambino.
Yeah, so now they'll never win.
Yeah, they had that dude with his fat double chin neck, and they put up the big picture and they
Bianco.
Said, and they said so it begins, the curse of the jabroni, and yes. I'm like, yes, yes, yes. Like Bartman was run out of that city for years. Like his life was ruined, and yet that dude and his dumbass friend are made cult heroes. No. You don't get to do that, New York.
So
baseball god smiled down on the rest of us.
The Red Sox had an 86-year curse of the Bambino.
Yeah.
I'm what, 50? Almost 50. Mm-hmm. You're a little younger. So we've got about, let's hope we've got, you know, 40 more years.
Of the jabroni curse.
Of the jabroni curse. And then there's nothing more that I want in, well, 45 years after that.
Yeah.
Or 47 years, so it's longer than the curse of the Bambino.
Yeah.
Somebody wake me up in my grave.
Your cryogenic sleep chamber with Walt Disney.
And just remind me that it's still going.
Wouldn't it be great if they cure whatever killed you, you wake up, some sort of AI ROP intelligence, and the first thing you ask is, have the Yankees won yet? And you're like, no, the jabroni curse.
The jabroni curse lives.
Yes.
That's all I want to know. Yeah.
And even... like, I have nothing against Juan Soto.
Jabroni.
I think Juan Soto is...
it's a great word.
He's an amazing player. Did you see Juan Soto after the game?
Uh-uh.
And it was just...
what's
his
problem?
Want to talk about someone who is not... by the way, he is not going back to New York. I watched about 5 or 6 different people ask him, hey, did you play your last game in New York? Oh, my God. Juan Soto is gone.
I didn't see what he said. I did see that he said, I'm open to all 30 teams this offseason.
It was the most non-committal, but I don't want to be back in New York. Someone asked him about the Mets, and he's like, I hope they come and get me. Like, it was this vague thing. And then Aaron Boone, who is the one guy, if I had to say there's one Yankee that maybe, a touch of I feel kind of bad for, I like Aaron Boone. And he talked about how, as a player, he had his heart broken. I believe now he's the manager with the most postseason appearances without a World Series. And I do not mind Aaron Boone. But even Aaron Boone talked about Juan Soto in the third person. Like, they all know that dude is gone, which is fascinating because you would think a dude who's just in it for money, who just played for a World Series, who by all accounts has a good relationship with Aaron Boone, you would think that there's no way the Yankees are letting him out that door, but boy, it sure felt like everyone, including Boone and Soto, were like, yeah, I'm going to go somewhere else.
I wonder why.
I don't know. It was just weird. He was great there. I mean, the World Series.
He was only there 1 year, right?
Yeah, he was just there the 1 year.
Yeah.
And he was fantastic.
Maybe the whole time they were just like,
yeah. I guess.
This will be a rent-a player.
Maybe they just don't think he's worth it, but, you know, because he's going to want a lot of money. But yeah, he's delivered everywhere he's gone.
I tell you what, I'd like to see the Yankees get him back and then continue to lose the World Series because I feel like his value will never be higher.
Yeah.
Right? So they're going to have, like you said, they're going to have to pay him a pretty penny.
Mm-hmm.
And the smartest thing to do would be to not pay him.
Just let him walk.
Yeah, let him go. You can fill those holes. Yeah. You know, you got a lot of money to
fill
those.
You can find somebody eventually makes up for the numbers that he gave you.
Yeah, you don't. Exactly.
Well, he's going to look at Ohtani's deal, and he's going to be like, I want that. And I'll tell you, I don't want
the Mets.
Can you
win a Cy Young? Because we're not giving that to you unless you can win a Cy Young.
That's a valid point. All of a sudden, he's like, well, I don't know. Maybe I can.
Well, I'll give you a $100 million discount.
Well, he wants a lot of money. And as much as I'd love to see him in New York, I don't want to see him in New York at $70 million. I mean, you can do a lot with $70 million bucks.
Yeah, I mean, but if you look at his numbers, he's had some down years. Like he's not always so great.
Yeah.
He just had a good year this year.
Yeah.
And most of the time, you know, it's funny how guys pop in free agent years.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and it just
And then they get paid and then they kind of rest and it's well, and their it just, stats aren't as good.
It just feels like that's a, I don't know, someone that young, that good, being in 3 different teams and clearly going to number 4 and Boris.
Maybe he's annoying.
Yeah, just, I don't know. It's like all of a sudden I had that vibe listening to him yesterday where I was like, I just don't feel like the Yankees are welcoming you back with open arms, and why wouldn't you? They know something
Screw
that the rest of us don't.
The Yankees.
Yes. The Yankees lose.
And go Dodgers, at least for a day. Although I saw that they lit a city bus on fire down there in L.A.
Did you see the dude blow his hand off?
No.
You haven't seen that video?
No.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy, I have not.
Oh, it is. Dude, it's everywhere. Some drunken, he's wearing a Dodger jersey, and it's bad. Like, it's bad. Think I mean, Jason Pierre-Paul. So it's just someone's taking the video of him, and he's lighting fireworks, and he bends down, and you know, the big boom happens, and he's jumping around, and everyone's like, ah, ha, ha, and then they show his hand. It's gone. Like, he's got no fingers left.
Oh my God.
It's just a meat puppet. You know, he's not dead or anything, but he blew his hand completely apart. That dude ain't wearing isotoners for the rest of his life. And you think, dude, that guy went from maybe the best day he's had in years celebrating a Dodger win, and now he is, you know, he's going lefty with a fork for a while. It's brutal.
Yeah, I see it.
I see how you're, like, his hand is gone. Rob's like,
well, yeah, he deserves it, you idiot.
Hey, look.
It's his own fault.
Drunkenness and, like, mortars do not go together. Because I don't know what that he let off there, but that's not a firecracker. That's a big old something that blew up in his hand.
Well, now what do we do without baseball?
Blazers, man.
What the hell are they doing?
Who, the Blazers?
Yeah, winning on the road?
They won.
106-105. They won a close game on the road.
Clutch down the road. Pulled it out.
Did you not understand the capture the flag assignment?
Here's why Danny White is going to get the what. Or Danny Ainge is going to get the what. He understands the assignment.
That's right.
The Blazers are winning close games on the road. What are we doing?
You know who else is I'm seeing is maybe in on the sweepstakes that we didn't expect? Mm. The Bucks.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah, but Giannis may be forcing his way out of town. That thing's a disaster.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So so if they... It's funny how this stuff always happens in the year where there's a really good number one pick.
Yeah.
Danny Ainge is like, oh, just rough year injuries. We're already hurt. Oh, we're 0-4. Oh, might as well go 0-82.
Yeah.
And now that Chauncey knows he's a dead man walking, he's going to go win some games. The Blazers aren't going to get the pick.
Well, and the Bucks, now that they suck, they're talking about trading Giannis. Maybe Dame Lillard goes down with a little back injury. And before you know it, you're rivaling Danny Ainge for Cooper Flagg.
I'd like to point out the Milwaukee, I believe, is what, like 1-4, I think?
Yeah, and Utah's 0-4.
Yeah.
And for some reason, the stupid Blazers are 2-3.
With a key clutch win over the Clippers?
Or are they Magic Johnson?
Are they 2-2?
They're 2-3.
2-3 now.
2-3. Dumb. Yeah.
But you can't win a close game on the road like that if you want to capture the flag.
They can't even lose right.
No. You know? Get Ayton out of there, damn it.
I was listening to the radio on the way home. They had like a 12-0 run to close the half or something. I'm like, what are these guys doing?
Who's winning? What is occurring?
I'm going to go to that lake.
Well, that's not going to do it for me. So, the show without baseball.
You got NHL.
Yeah.
You got college football. You got the NFL.
I think we'll just pack it up and come back in April.
We're done. Come back.
We'll come back on in April.
What about the Super Bowl?
I kind of want to go to spring training. I've never been.
Oh, you never?
Oh, you would really like spring training.
Yeah, I'm going to go down.
I've only done it once, and it was when I was a teenager, but I would love to go back. You would dig that vibe.
Yeah, we went down to Peoria, me and the great Iron Furnace. We went down one year, and it was fun.
Yeah, golf, nice weather, baseball.
And, like, the baseball is even somehow more relaxed than regular Major League Baseball. Yeah. Like, you can just talk to players and coaches and, like...
It was cool. The year we went down was the first year of the World Baseball Classic, so... Not only did you have spring training, but the guys were kind of getting together and doing the World Baseball Classic stuff. And we got to watch, one of the coolest things I've ever seen was, Team Japan was playing like simulated games. And we got to watch, Ichiro take BP, and it was freaking awesome. Dude, he just was dinking around. I think at one point he hit like 12 in a row. Dude was just hitting bombs. Anyway, like all his teammates were kind of egging him on and laughing because they always said, like, if he wanted to, he could have hit 250 and hit 40, you know, but but in BP, sometimes he would do that. And he just was sitting there and just launching these moonshots. It was real cool to see.
Was that your reaction?
No, it was a lot of this. Holy hell. And he was very, very popular down there.
All right. Well, we have shoveled enough dirt on the Yankees. That's great. Got that out of the way. No Dan Lanning today, guys.
No.
He's not going to join us. He's ducking us this week.
I think he's on a plane right now with Dusty.
Yeah, they're traveling today.
I wonder if Dusty and him are talking strategy.
So we will have no Dan Lanning, but we will have a non-Dan Lanning Dan Lanning segment.
Can I just give you coach speak answers?
No, I don't want that.
Oh.
But we have Dan Lanning audio, I think.
We do.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a non-Dan Lanning, Dan Lanning audio segment.
Oh, I like this.
Well, it's like an indirect Dan Lanning, because it's not a non-Dan Lanning. There will still be presence of Dan Lanning.
Nah, I'm calling it a non-Dan Lanning, Dan Lanning segment.
I like where
because I like to be confusing.
I like where we're going with this.
Yeah,
yeah.
So that'll be at 4, but he's not coming on. Yeah. So he's starting the curse of primetime because if they lose,
yeah, you got to be careful.
What's tougher, the curse of primetime or the curse of the jabroni?
Well, I hope the curse of the jabroni.
Yeah, for sure.
I want that thing to linger.
I don't mind talking to y'all.
So we'll get started with our poll question: college football next on the Fam. All right, nice to have you along. A little Thursday program.
Wow.
We're partying. Talk a little football. The big game in college football this weekend is Penn State, Ohio State.
Yeah.
And that is the subject of our poll question. But first, wrapping up yesterday's on X at 1080 The Fan, we asked you which unbeaten gets upset this weekend. 36% voted for Miami losing to Duke.
Yeah.
27% voted for Texas Tech beating Iowa State. 19% say Michigan over Oregon. And then 18% Michigan State over Indiana.
Yeah, it's weird that like Indiana is getting confidence. Like people, you would think that normally you get a team like Indiana that comes out of nowhere and, you know, they haven't played anyone, they kind of get exposed eventually, but you know, at the same time Michigan State's probably not doing a lot of exposure. So,
I don't know, man. Of all four of those,
yeah.
I feel the best about Michigan State.
Really? See, I went with the Duke-Miami, and simply because I haven't seen much of Duke. Really, the only game that I actually sat down and watched was I watched when they beat Florida State. But, you know, they've lost two games, and you look at kind of their metrics and stats, it looks pretty good. They lost to Georgia Tech in a close one, and then they lost to SMU. But Miami, you know, Miami shouldn't be undefeated. Miami really should be a two-loss team. So I'm just going based on that. It's not so much I believe in Duke. It's just that I don't believe in Miami.
Today's poll question. It's on X at 1080 The Fan. We're asking you, who is this weekend's big game biggest for?
Hmm.
Only two options. Ryan Day or James Franklin?
Oh, boy.
Log on and vote.
I'll tell you
a couple
what,
of stats.
That's a really good one.
You're making me uncomfortable.
This is...
So here are a couple stats before you answer.
Good.
Ryan Day, 0-5 against teams that are 7-0 or better.
Mm-hmm.
James Franklin, 1-12 against top 5 teams, 3-17 against top 10 teams, and he is 4-16 against Michigan and Ohio State combined.
Damn, dude, this is tough. I want to say James Franklin, but it's not. The answer is Ryan Day.
I think it is Ryan Day,
too. The answer is Ryan Day, and that is, first off, Penn State's undefeated, so if they lose this game, Penn State more than likely still ends up in the college football playoff, right? You look at what Penn State has left, Washington, Purdue, Minnesota, Maryland, not exactly a murderer's row. So even if you lose to Ohio State and you don't make the Big Ten title game, let's say that Ohio State runs the table, Oregon runs the table, Penn State's out, it doesn't matter. You're still in. An 11-1 Penn State team that doesn't play in the Big Ten title game still is in the playoff.
Wait, you said Oregon runs the table.
Let's say Ohio State runs the table the rest of the way, including beating Penn State, and Oregon runs the table. It would be Oregon and Ohio State in the Big Ten championship.
Because Ohio State beat Penn State?
Yes. And they would have beat Indiana. So Penn State would be not in the Big Ten title game, but they'd be 11-1.
So Penn State has to win this.
To play in the Big Ten title game, more than likely.
Yeah, I mean, a lot can happen.
But yes, if Penn State wins this, more than likely, if chalk holds, unless there's some sort of big upset.
Well, if Penn State wins, they've got the inside track with Oregon on the Big Ten title game.
Yes.
If Penn State loses,
they need a lot of help.
They really need this game.
Yes. So, but this is where I say it's bigger for Ryan Day, because if Penn State loses, it sucks, and we get to point at James Franklin and be like, dude, what the hell? They're still going to make the cultural playoff.
11. Oh, yeah.
They're not losing to Washington. They're not losing to Purdue. They're not losing to Minnesota. They're not losing to Maryland, more than likely. So at 11-1, they're still in. And that, you know, as much as James Franklin's going to catch heat from losing to another big team, they're in the playoff, and then you get a chance to redeem yourself. If Ryan Day loses and there are two losses, not only are they not playing in the Big Ten title game, there's zero guarantee that they're in the college football playoff. And it's not like Penn State, and believe me, I've seen Penn State. This is not a juggernaut team. people already are unhappy at Ryan Day. There's a lot of talk that he's not the guy to get him over the hump again. This would be devastating for Ryan Day. It really would. This is a bigger game for Ryan Day than it is for James Franklin. It just is.
Yeah, it feels like we're kind of at a crossroads with both of those two guys.
Yes.
Because Franklin's been there for 10 years. This is his 11th season. He needs to elevate Penn State in that league.
It's time to go.
And Day, if he loses, that really mucks up their championship aspirations. And I really enjoy Ohio State fan meltdowns.
Oh, sure.
They're great.
Yeah.
And they're already talking about if Day misses the playoff with this roster,
yes,
he could get turf.
So there was talk at the start of the season, and you can say what you will about it being hyperbole or, you know, talking out of your ass. There were a lot of people close to that program, right? I don't follow Ohio State on a day-to-day basis, but there are people that have been following Ohio State for years. Urban Meyer came out and said it, and Urban does, and I know he's an Ohio State guy. He doesn't have a dog in this fight. There's no reason for him to say this. They said to a man that, yes, there may not be, you know, the quarterback that you've had in the years past, but Craig Krenzel won a national championship there.
This guy's pretty good, Will Howard.
Yeah, Will Howard. Will Howard is a solid guy. He's better than some of the other quarterbacks they've had. And they said, when you look at their receiving core, when you look at the O-line, when you look at this defense, the NFL guys, it's kind of like Oregon. They're across every position. They said that this could be the best Ohio State team of this modern era. And if you go into that with that sort of expectations and you lose your two biggest games to Oregon and Penn State, and you don't, it's a 12-team playoff and you're not one of them, I've laughed at the idea that Ryan Day is going to get fired at Ohio State. I'm like, you're fooling yourself. If that happens, I could see a knee-jerk reaction and someone being like, we can't allow this.
Buy him out.
This is a big freaking deal for
Ryan.
Who's
the next Ohio State coach?
I don't know.
When they turf
Ryan Day. I don't know where you'd go with that. I mean, we can always debate like whether A&M or Florida State or these, you know, great jobs. Ohio State is a phenomenal job. I mean, it is one of the crown jewels. Anyone, like they always say, and I'm not saying he would take it, but we always say that like for like a guy like Dan Lanning, like you would only leave for an Alabama type job. Ohio State is that type of job. There's no one that Alabama or Ohio State could put on their list that someone would say that's a silly thought. You may not get him. He may be like, no, then I'm fine. Grass isn't greener on the other side. But there is no one that Ohio State could conjure up that wouldn't be in their wheelhouse or wouldn't at least consider or listen to the idea of Ohio State coming to dock.
Mm. I got to think about this because I don't think Lanning would go.
No, I don't think so.
Cignetti's too unproven. Well, he's not unproven. It's just they're going to shoot higher.
I would assume they would shoot higher.
You know what I'd do?
If you wanted a ballsy move, if he ended up making the playoff, if he ended up beating Ohio State.
Who?
Scignetti. Like,
oh, Cignetti?
Cignetti.
Yeah.
I always want to say Scignetti. No, Sig.
You can call him whatever you like.
Yeah.
Just Google him.
The Sig.
Google me, bitch.
Google me.
You know who fits there? But I don't think you could get him either. Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly's really good.
Yeah, I don't think he would.
He fits the snooty Ohio State. Like, he's good enough to get that job.
I don't think he leaves.
But I'm not sure he leaves LSU.
Probably not. But again, like, Ohio State can knock on any door and people will listen.
They should hire James Franklin. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Get one coach that can't win to go hire another coach that can't win.
They just trade at the end of the season.
Yeah, they just swap. It's like, who is the...
Would you do that? If you're Penn State, would you take Ryan Day right now?
And I think if you're Ohio State, Ohio State would not take Franklin, so...
No, I think Ohio State sticks with Day. Yeah. If you have your choice of those two guys...
I would stick with Day.
And you're Penn State?
Yeah, I'd stick with Day.
What do you do?
But if they put Day out on his ass, would Penn State come calling for Ryan Day if they lost Franklin?
I don't think either one of those coaches you would swap for. I think you're happy with both sides.
I think if I'm Penn State, I take Ryan Day.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think I would too.
Yeah. He's getting better players at Ohio State.
Yeah, but is that because he's a better recruiter or is it because Ohio State's just better than Penn State?
Maybe it's that Ryan Day's better than James Franklin.
Yeah. Look, Penn State is...
What came first, the chicken or the egg?
Penn State is a really good program. It's not Ohio State. Like... Let me just say this. Michigan's not Ohio State. We've talked about this before. Michigan always wants to think that they're Ohio State. Look at, and I get, if you go historically back 100 years, look at the last 30 years. Michigan doesn't sniff Ohio State. Not many schools do. Ohio State is in rarefied air. It just, like, there's nothing outside of probably Alabama and Georgia and Florida, maybe, like with Spurrier and then Urban. There's just, Ohio State is truly a different program.
Mike Vrabel?
Former
Buckeye.
He's an unproven guy. Although they went with an unproven guy in Jim Tressel, and he went to like 9 straight BCS games.
Chip Kelly?
Yeah, no.
Right there in the OC box. You can just yank him down, give him a headset, and say, yeah, run it.
You know, the interesting thing is there isn't a lot of star coaches in college football. There's just not. You know, you look at how many coaches have national championships, right? Like, you've got
Kirby.
Kirby's got one. Dabo's got one.
Mac Brown,
who's on his way out. Other than that, it's a lot of kind of solid coaches that either haven't been around to prove stuff. That's kind of like a Kalen DeBoer, Dan Lanning type thing. Or kind of the older guys like Kyle Whittingham, who's a great coach, but is kind of on the way out. And, you know, they're not going to go hire him. You wonder if, like, the next run of coaches is the, you know, kind of what Indiana did, going to find someone at a lower level. Or, again, they found Jim Tressel at Youngstown State. And Jim Tressel, people forget, go look at what Jim Tressel did at Ohio State. Jim Tressel might be the most underrated figure in college football in the last 40 years. I'll pull up his coaching byline, including Jim Tressel beat what I considered to be the most talented team in college football history. Jim Tressel beat him in the national championship.
With Craig Krenzel.
With Craig freaking Krenzel. He beat that Miami team. Like, you just don't do that. And yet somehow we... And, you know, he got fired because he had the weird, you know, they were paying kids, but...
Was it tattoos or something?
Yeah, that's what got exposed. But, yeah, they were, you know, people were, you know, he was doing what everyone else was doing. But they canned him. And Jim Tressel was at Ohio State for 10 years. Jim Tressel went 106-22.
Hmm.
106-22.
He won a title, right?
He won a national title.
And
he lost 2 national titles.
Yeah, lost 2 others?
Lost 2 others.
What were those 2 losses?
I'd have to look up who they lost to. And then he won a national title because he beat Miami. But they went to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He went to 8 BCS games in 10 years. Like, Jim Tressel, and when he took over Ohio State was kind of, that was like, hey, we can't get over Michigan, and kind of licking our wounds. I think it was what John Cooper replaced, and Jim Tressel got there. Jim Tressel went 7-5, and then after that, 14-0, 11-2, 8-4, 10-2, 12-1, 11-2, 10-3, 11-2, 12-1. And then the year after he left, Urban Meyer took him undefeated, couldn't play because of sanctions, and then won a national title with Jim Tressel's guys. Yeah, Jim Tressel was amazing.
So he lost to Florida in the first championship,
mm-hmm,
BCS championship game.
Yeah.
And he lost... Oh, he lost back-to-back BCS championship?
Yeah, he lost back-to-back BCS championships.
Who's the other one to?
I don't know.
What do you know?
Well, when I look at his coaching record, it doesn't. It just has the year.
Yeah. Well, anyway. All right. Well, we're getting sidetracked per usual. Poll question on X at 1080 The Fan. Who is this weekend's big game, biggest four? Ryan Day or James Franklin? Vote hard. The city of Portland is backing MLB to Portland just in time. That's next. Here's Buck. So Jim Tressel... Random Jim Tressel talk here today. He lost those back-to-back BCS championship games. He lost to Florida and then LSU. So he is responsible for both Chris Leak and Matt Flynn being championship quarterbacks.
He did lose to Nick Saban and Urban Meyer, I would like to point out. And last time I checked, Nick Saban and Urban Meyer, pretty good coaches.
Maybe Ohio State would bring Urban Meyer back, do you think? You think they would do that?
I don't know. I don't know. Like,
I think there's a chance.
I just wonder in today's game. Like, I'm not saying that the game passed by Chip Kelly, but
you wouldn't hire him.
I wouldn't. And this is kind of my point. Like, passed by is too strong. Chip is not what he used to be.
Well, he's not a head coach.
Well,
am I right about that? Like, he doesn't really care to be a head coach.
I don't necessarily know if he's a great offensive coordinator.
Yeah,
like I said, and he's not a recruiter. And so I don't know at this point if Urban Meyer, the way he is and you listen to the stories about him in Jacksonville, and I just don't know. And how old is Herbs? I mean, it's been a while. It's
getting
it's,
up there.
It's been a moment. I just wonder if he is, if you brought Urban Meyer back at the age of 60, is it the same Urban Meyer? Because make no mistake about it, Urban with his fastball at his peak was as good as anyone not named Nick Saban. Urban Meyer was phenomenal. He was great at Bowling Green. He was great at Utah. He was great at Florida. He was great at Ohio State. I just think that maybe it's, we always try to go back to the well. And I remember, like, we do this with so many coaches, you know, whether it's Mac Brown or whether it was John Robinson back in the day. We always try to go back and try to reclaim greatness. And it's just, it's harder than you think to do. And so, no, if I'm Ohio State, I would not go calling on Urban Meyer. I would try to go find the next one. Go find who's the next Urban Meyer to come into my place, because Ohio State should be able to find that guy.
Hear from Dan Lanning coming up at 4. Quick MLB to Portland news. You see this, JC Babes?
What do we got?
You down with this?
I'm down with OPP. What?
Whoa.
Just made me think of that. We said, am I down with that?
Yeah, you haven't seen this?
No, I can't say that I have.
Major League Baseball is coming to Portland.
I don't think that's the case, but oh. What do you got?
Well, the city council this morning unanimously agreed to formally support the Portland Diamond Project and their plan to build a stadium at Citadel Yard.
Still don't know what that means because...
I can tell you.
It's all changing in a couple months, so...
Well, no, that's why Wheeler did this. So Wheeler put this in front of them to vote before he stepped out because he wanted them to support Major League Baseball to Portland.
Okay.
And so they passed this ordinance, this resolution... And it directs the city of Portland to partner with the Portland Diamond Project and make the best possible pitch for Major League Baseball to select Portland as the league's next expansion. Mm. In September, the Diamond Project announced that it signed a letter of intent to acquire Citadel Yards. The ordinance specifically instructs city administrators to put together a citywide team to work with the Diamond Project and all other necessary community parties on attracting a Major League Baseball team.
Okay.
The ordinance specifically prioritizes the building of an MLB stadium on the Zidell Yards property, and it directs city administrators to support the development of creating the most competitive package possible for bringing an MLB team to the city of Portland.
But when the new...
So there you go.
When the new one comes in...
The new mayor?
The new mayor and the new city council and everything, does that...
No, it's... I mean, it's... I think the whole point is they voted. By the way, this was a unanimous vote.
All right.
They voted this in unanimously, and I think that was the whole idea: is that we know this is going to change, so we want to get some support on the books.
But my question becomes, and again, I read through several of this, and I never found an answer for it. One mayor or one city council can say something, but like that's like saying that the current president wants to do XYZ, but if a new one comes in and he's like, no.
Well, I think the idea is that it's a resolution. They kind of have to.
I don't think that's the way these things work. I don't think a government has to do what the old government says they have to do. But
well, I think they have to follow these ordinances and resolutions. That's the whole idea.
Well, if that is the case, I'm excited because it's the first time that we have public and full-blown support of the city towards getting Major League Baseball, and God knows we need it because Salt Lake has it, and that's who you're competing with. Salt Lake is completely on board, and for the first time, we can say that we're officially on board with Major League Baseball.
This is a
now big, buy the property officially.
This is a big thing because the city's been through a lot of crap.
Yes,
and they just never really Wheeler never really stuck his neck out publicly for Major League Baseball, even though behind the scenes he was about it.
Yeah.
I think they've convinced him and others in the city that this could be a really good way to help bring Portland back.
That'd be amazing.
So the timing of this, you know, I'm not going to lie, the timing, we've said it all along, the timing is the hard part. Mike Barrett talks about that all the time. Craig Cheek talks about it all the time. Mm-hmm. The timing, syncing everything up, is really hard. That's the hardest part.
Yeah.
Because Portland had its S together before COVID, but the timing wasn't right.
Yeah.
Well, now Major League Baseball is getting closer to expanding, and they're getting closer to buying a ballpark, and they finally have city support.
Yeah.
And that's huge, because the Major League Baseball is going to want to, you know, you're going to work with the city.
Yes.
So.
Well, because there will be infrastructure that's going to be needed.
Exactly.
You know, Major League Baseball can say, yes, you've got, or, you know, hey, what's your plan? You can say, hey, we're planning on building the yards, but we know that there's going to need parking. We know that there's going to be more ways down there, or needed to be. And the resolution doesn't say that there'll be any sort of price tag attached to that, or what they're willing to commit.
It's very vague.
It's very vague, which is what, that's why, you know me, I always get weird about vague things. When a city council and a mayor is leaving and a new one's coming in, I think I would get more excited. And I think I will be more excited that when the election happens and we have a new mayor and a new city council, if that group comes out and says, hey, just for the record, we are 100% on board with what the past regime did. We're taking this and we're moving forward. And then I hear from the Portland Diamond Project, we don't have an agreement to buy the land. We are buying the land. Because last time we had Craig Cheek on, what did he say? Whether we get a Major League Baseball team or not, our plan is to buy that land and to buy Red Tail. And at worst case scenario, we become developers in Portland. We believe in Portland. So when a purchase has been made and the new mayor and the new city council says, yes, we are in this together, I think I will get a little more excited. But yes, it is a nice step to finally have the city get behind this, because that has always been problematic, that anyone that gets baseball or anyone that gets any sport, the city has always been behind it, because the city is always going to have a commitment. I
mean, everybody's got to be on the same page. Yes. And there's a lot of moving parts, especially here. So so it's good. I think, you know, the only thing it's going to take to get my sports pants tied on this are renderings.
Renderings would help, yes.
That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
Well, Zedell Yards renderings. No. You get that?
I want to see a purchase.
I'm excited.
I want to see a force. I want to see, you know, when you do the realtor and they take the for sale sign and then they come and put the
sold.
I want to see that. When that happens, because then I know there's skin in the game. They've spent millions on surveys and studies and soil samples and cleanup and EPA stuff. So I know there's skin in the game, that they've spent millions of dollars. Buying physical land, buying Red Tail, buying the yards down on the South Waterfront for huge money, that is the difference. What do they always say when it comes to breakfast? The chicken is involved, the pig is committed. We're the chicken. I would like to see us be the pig.
Well, you still got to get the team, the expansion team. And I think one thing that matters that only a select few know are who would own the team.
Yeah.
And Major League, that's going to go a long way in determining if Portland gets a team.
There's a reason why we can't talk about that. I mean,
well, there is, but Major League Baseball can talk about it.
Yes.
And they're going to know.
Yes.
They probably already do. And so that is a key element of this that will play a big, that's a big factor that nobody knows besides the insiders.
Yes.
And who that is could be the deciding, It could put Portland over the top, or it could really hurt Portland, depending on who it is.
Yeah, it's a valid point. I think when that gets
Nashville has its own ownership group. Salt Lake has its own.
Yeah, and ours is in the shadows. But
right.
There's a reason why ours is in the shadows, and when it.
No, there is.
Yeah.
It's just that it doesn't matter that it's in the shadows to us.
Yes,
Major League Baseball knows.
Yes.
And they're the ones. That like that is a factor that no one's talking about.
Yeah, we don't.
That
know.
Is going to be a huge reason why MLB would offer an expansion franchise to Portland. But one thing you must have in order to even get to that conversation is city support.
Yeah,
and they now have it.
Yes, whatever that means, in whatever way, even if this is just a ceremonial sort of tip of the cap, it's really nice to see finally that we have some public support for this. And every time there's a sporting event that comes, have you seen all the communities that clean up around it? I mean, we even did it when the basketball tournament was coming here. It's like San Francisco did this. Like anytime you get these big events, it's like, hey, we have to get our S together. And it's about time someone pulled their head out of their ass and realized that a couple $1 billion worth of development in our city would be a good thing.
Yeah, you'd think that.
It's amazing that it takes that long to be like, what, someone wants to dump several billions of dollars into developing our city?
I think the problem with, there's a perception problem, right? Because especially in a city like Portland, because a lot of people are instantly going to go, they just read about Major League Baseball and they instantly go, not paying for a stadium.
Yeah.
What they don't understand is that the people that have been working on this know that.
Yes.
And they've known that for 15 years.
Yeah.
That it's the model is different now.
Yeah, there'll be a workaround.
But people do, I think there's still that stigma out there that, yeah, oh, well, I'm not paying for that.
Yeah.
I don't want to pay tax dollars for that.
Yeah.
Well, you won't have to unless you maybe use it.
Yes.
I mean, but.
Yeah. And even if you don't.
Convincing people is.
And even if you don't pay for it, you're going to get benefits. Because every place that builds one of these, with the exception of places like Miami, which that's a whole other deal, these are all good for the community.
No, I want more homeless.
Yeah, you want more. You want more.
I voted for the more homeless mayoral candidate.
I want that. Who's the stripper
gal?
The
stripper, yeah.
The stripper gal.
Yeah.
Whatever her name is, Molly Mounds
all right,
or something.
Dan Lanning pregame show, even though we're not getting Dan Lanning, next on The Fan. But we don't have to be on time for Dan Lanning because he is avoiding us this week. They are traveling today.
But we have to be on time for the CW, otherwise we get yelled at.
Yeah, we do get yelled at a lot. Yeah, so. All caps emails coming in.
So,
but
it's going to be very short. It's going to be a very short non-Dan Lanning, Dan Lanning pregame.
Yeah, the Dan Lanning, non-Dan Lanning pregame is brought to you by Unitas Community Credit Union.
Yes. You, me, Unitas.
No, I believe it's you, us.
Unitas. Let's get it right, okay?
Well, you're the one that has the tag over there. I was just going off of memory. Either way, it's uniting us. I know that.
Yep. We're going to be united next. Dan Lanning is not going to be on live, but you are going to hear from him.
We'll be united in our non-live Dan Lanning news during Dan Lanning's segment.
And a little homework for the listeners during the break. Try and guess Dan Lanning's favorite Halloween costume that he wore as a youth.
Okay. Mm.
Mine was Thundar the Barbarian.
Really?
Ooh, yeah. My mom made me a homemade Thundar the Barbarian.
Did you have a little Viking helmet?
No, but I had like the little furry breeches that I wore and like the furry boots.
God, that so fits you.
Look up Thundar the Barbarian.
Mini Viking boy.
If you don't remember that cartoon, and it was by far the best thing that I ever had.
Yeah, Buck asked me that. Oh, yeah, I see that. It kind of looks a little skimpy.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, it was...
A lot of legs showing there, Thundar.
No, I had to wear, like, white sweats underneath it. You know, it's like when you're a kid and you're, like, you go out trick-or-treating, but your mom makes you wear a coat. So I think I had a white or some sort of cream-colored sweatshirt and sweatpants that I wore underneath.
He had some sweet hair, too.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, my
God. And that was the hair that I had when I was little. I had that...
You had that hair?
Yeah.
That's like a...
It's like a page boy haircut.
It's a mullet. Well, yeah. It's not really a mullet. It's like a... I mean, well,
it's like a He-Man page
it's
cut.
It's like a just Karen
a
haircut.
A little longer. Yeah. I had a bowl cut like that, kind of.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was really blonde.
Yeah, Buck asked me earlier, he said, what's your favorite Halloween costume you've ever worn? And I'm like, I only remember one.
Yeah, you basically just told me you thought Halloween is dumb. I'm like, well that's no fun.
I'm an adult. I don't think adults should dress up for Halloween.
Once a year, it's fun to get kind of goofy.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm not judging anyone. To me, it's kind of a dumb thing.
Yeah, Halloween guy gets pissy when you don't.
I know, they
don't.
Get so defensive.
And I'm not even Halloween guy.
Because you know what it is, Sook? Down deep in their loins, they know.
They know.
They know. They're like, this is ridiculous. What am I doing?
I have the same thing.
But if it's fun and whimsical, fine, do it. I don't care.
Yeah.
But I only remember one Halloween costume that I wore, and it is, I was Robin Hood.
Oh.
And
had little tights on. And,
yeah, the little tights.
Yeah.
And it was homemade costume.
Yeah.
Because we didn't. Mom was against going to the store and buying costumes, so we made everything.
Yeah, we did too. And my mom was pretty good. I thought my mom did a nice job back in the day. Boole would put together some nice, unique Halloween costumes.
So you're going to find out next what Dan Lanning's favorite Halloween costume is. A non-Dan Lanning segment when we return on The Fan.